And if I circle three things every meal, every day, they've got 9 sources of inflammation in one day's period of time. They come to me in the health concern that they're in, and we look at each other and go, got it. Here's your current diet. Thank you for filling this out. Could we have a goal to reduce this circle at breakfast and this circle at the evening meal? Eat more protein, more vegetables, healthy fats. Add in all the healthy fats you can. Butter, lard, coconut oil, olive oil. Because again, remember, we're confused about what is and is not even good for us. And that's intentional, by the way. We're, the more confused we are about how to keep ourselves healthy, the more we might be profited on.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dawn Mathis with To Your Greatness, and we are so privileged to have Dr. Lauren on the third of three podcasts. The first one was about nutrition response testing. Make sure you check it out. The second one was about the importance of detox, and these may be under a title of healthy conversations or health from the inside out, so make sure you look for those podcasts. This is the third and final episode, and we have Dr. Lauren with us.
Thank you, Dawn.
Welcome, Dr. Lauren.
I am too.
I'm sad that this is the last of three, but we'll have to do more. So what we're talking about today is food and intermittent fasting. The first topic is my favorite. The second one, not so much. But, you know, if you've ever had a colonoscopy, you've at least fasted that way. And, you know, most of our clients are
have that experience.
So anyway, I'm gonna let Dr. Lauren talk about the importance of the food we eat.
Let's do it. So let's jump in right away about food. I have my own personal story to tell you about food. We have a loved one who, after a not so good hip surgery, ended up in not a flat out nursing home, but a place where he would be doing rehab. And his diet going in there was not perfect, but it was quite good, quite decent, right? And again, I've said this before and I'll say it again, perfect is not required. However, going into a rehab setting where we are inflamed after a surgery and we need to heal and we need to heal, right? Like that's the whole reason we're there, so we can do rehab and heal. And just knowing what he had been eating at home, and then also now seeing what he was eating in the home where he was there for about 45 days. Let me just tell you, our personal experience was watching not only his physical, but his mental health completely decline. And we asked questions over, we want to see what he ordered for food. And it was starting his day with 250 grams of sugar in orange juice, sodas throughout the day, another few hundred grams of sugar throughout the day, and ending with endless ice cream, okay? So we are supposed to be in a situation of healing and decreasing inflammation, and instead, we were getting sugar, 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 and more sugar. Now, remember why he was there. It was for a physical problem, but what else declined? His mental health, to the point of not being able to communicate with us at the dinner table. We got our hands on him. We removed all sugar. He was on our supplements, and he quite literally a night and day difference over cognitive ability and healing of his hip. Okay. So that again, being that was a recent experience for us, and we've been doing this for 12 years. But I just want to start by saying that over what we put in our mouth matters. Perfect is not required. However, the more sugar that is there, sugar, grain, alcohol, and dairy, those are the top four sources of inflammation. The more of that is in someone's diet, the more any health issue they are suffering from, the more worse, is that a word? The more worse it's going to be, because they are quite literally throwing fuel on a fire with every bite. Every bite we take is either healing us or making us sick. I mean, you can't simplify it any more than that. It's either healing us or it's making us sick. It's either what is the saying? The fastest form of healing or the slowest form of poison. So perfect's not required. I'm going to keep saying that. But if you look at your diet, and I wish we all had food logs right now, because then I could do some circling. But if we all had our food logs.
Maybe we could put one of your food logs.
Yeah, because if someone just started food logging, they would create an accountability with themselves. And if they were to be working with us in the either in clinic or over the phone telehealth, like we talked about in our last episode, we monitor people's food logs because we want to help them help themselves. We don't want them to keep shooting themselves in the foot. Okay. And so here's another, before I want to talk more about the food log, but let's say you come to my clinic and I don't address your diet. Let's say I don't talk to you about food logging and make it an important thing that you're going to implement as a healthy lifestyle habit during the week. And all I do is give you supplements. Guess how much more supplementation costs for the folks who don't improve their diet? Our program is so much more expensive for those folks who either refuse to food log or refuse to make changes. Now, we're not here to push someone faster than they're able to go. Some people are like, all or nothing. Holy cow, I cut out all the sugar, grain, alcohol, and dairy. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm going to do it fast. In all honesty, Dawn, I was so sick, I had to do that. I mean, I just was that ready, right? Other people are not that ready. That's okay. Someone might literally, you know, we want them to go, and instead they go like this. Peaks and valleys, but they're moving up. At least they're moving up, right? They're at least getting knowledgeable about what is and is not an inflammatory food. So let's go back to the food log. If I have someone bring me in a food log and the first week I'm looking at it, if I play teacher and I get out my red pen, and if I circle three things every meal, every day, they've got 9 sources of inflammation in one day's period of time. They come to me in the health concern that they're in, and we look at each other and go, got it. Here's your current diet. Thank you for filling this out. Could we have a goal to reduce this circle at breakfast and this circle at the evening meal? Eat more protein, more vegetables, healthy fats. Add in all the healthy fats you can. Butter, lard, coconut oil, olive oil. Because again, remember, we're confused about what is and is not even good for us. And that's intentional, by the way. Where the more confused we are about how to keep ourselves healthy, the more we might be profited on. Anyway, that's another conversation. So it's all about knowledge and at least knowing what the food sources of inflammation are. Okay. Then knowing what to replace those sources with, because it's true. If you eat more of the good stuff, then you have less room for the other stuff. So we just got through the holidays, right? And one of my biggest takeaways recommendations for people is, hey, you're about to go into holiday party mode. Awesome. Have fun. Go to your friends and family's parties. However, eat before you go. Eat what you know to be great before you go, and then you don't show up to the party on an empty stomach and eat every carbohydrate thing they have to offer, right? So just some tools and tricks. But yes, if we were to post for people to have access to our food log, really step number one is do the food log, have accountability with yourself, perhaps have accountability with a buddy, and then better yet, if you have specific health issues that you want to work on, have us be your finalized accountability partner, and we can not only help you with the diet further, but also be developing supplementation programs that are there for detoxification, drainage, and nourishment to heal.
That's great. That, you know, one of the things I love about what you guys do too is I think I'm on my, I don't know, my 8th mm-hmm. or 9th visit tomorrow, actually. What I love is you have on your wall incredible educational information, and you only give me one or two maybe a week, so that in, no pun intended, bite-sized chunks, I'm getting information about what I should be doing. In fact, one of my favorites that everybody will get if you do this program is the one that talks about the
You've got to tell people what to eat. Yes.
The healthy foods.
Yes. These are what you can eat more of.
Yeah. Because diet, when you hear the word diet, it's another one of the four letter words. It doesn't begin with an F. It begins with a D, just as bad. But it's like, instead of eliminating and looking at it as a process of elimination of things that you enjoy, look at this list.
Exactly.
And
some
of these
total mindset shift. And some of the things that we tell people to eat, they have been avoiding because they were incorrectly told it was bad for them. Like butter.
Like butter. Oh my God.
So,
I love
do you
butter.
See what we're saying when people have quite literally for years and decades been deprived of the gold nutrition butter is, and we're here to tell them to eat more? If they can go, if you let me eat more butter, I'm totally cool with getting away from cereal. You know, so we like to, it's a give and a take. Hey, can you do this? We will never push someone to do something or do more than what they can do in their time frame. We call it a gradient scale. My gradient of healing was extremely fast because remember, I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired that I was mentally not okay. And I was quite literally desperate for help. When someone told me to do these things, I was just there and I was ready. And we do work with those folks. Other people are like, hey, I cannot wait to do this. I hate this symptom that's keeping me up at night or whatever it is, but I really, really, really love chips and salsa. Do I never get to eat chips and salsa again? Nah, you get to eat chips and salsa. How much chips and salsa are you eating every day? Oh, gallons. Got it. Could we eat a little less? It doesn't have to be all or nothing overnight. It really doesn't. So, and I have nothing against chips and salsa. Right. We have other options for people as well, because let's face it, chips and salsa is usually corn or flour tortillas, right? Well, we've got options that are not corn or flour. And so our goal, we're consumers too. So our goal is to send people where they can, hey, instead of blue corn chips, how about try these chips? I mean, that is our goal, is to give suggestion over what they can do to still enjoy their life and their diet and still get healthy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I know we're almost out of time. So I do want you to touch on the intermittent.
Here's the deal. There's a feasting window and a fasting window. Americans especially eat and eat and eat and eat, and that window is huge. I mean, it's like there's no gap, right? Even if people only sleep, if their sleeping habits aren't very good, they go to bed really, really late, they're probably snacking all the way up to that as well. So your sleeping habits and your feasting, fasting habits. So again, there are so many great references for fasting, but this is what I recommend to many, many people for benefits, not just including weight loss, decrease of inflammation, better sleep, better energy, better detox, and better cognitive abilities. In fact, when I get on and I do a podcast like this with you here today, Dawn, I'm fasting. I feel less bogged down and more mentally clear through a fast. Okay. So here's the deal. I used to go to bed at 10 p.m., wake up at 6 and eat immediately at 6:30. Okay. That's just an example. I did not go from that eating schedule to eating at nearly 1 p.m. overnight. No one should have that expectation. The goal is not for it to really be anything that you even have to notice. Meaning, if you wake up at 6 and you eat at 6:30 and your last meal was 7 p.m. 7 p.m. your last meal, first meal, let's say, is 6:30 a.m. The first goal is to close the window of feasting and open a wider fasting window by like 30 minutes on both ends. So if I normally eat at 7 o'clock, if my schedule allows, I'm going to try to eat my last meal at 6:30 and go to bed at a decent time, 9:30 or 10. Because the folks who want to fast, the later they stay up, the more they're willing to snack, right? And going to bed earlier is always better for us as well. So we're going to close the window in the evening. Instead of a 7 p.m. meal, it's now going to be 6:30 or 6:45. You can do it in 15-minute increments if it feels like a struggle. Because the worse someone's blood sugar is, the more this will feel like a struggle. So you don't have to do it excessively fast. And so we rein it in a little bit on the evening. And then the next morning, instead of eating at 6:30, now you might eat at 7 a.m. So see, my fasting window is now longer than the hours in which I feast. When you get to the point where you are in intermittent fasting mojo, like it's really going well and you're feeling good about it, you quite literally could eat at 7:30 at night and not eat until 1 p.m. Now it might be.
Oh, you don't eat at all in the morning.
Mm-mm. I'm not saying that this is an advanced protocol. Okay. So the folks who first join us, we are not here to get them to go from only eating from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's a further down the line kind of conversation. But I am saying how, if we were to just do it really incrementally and be aware of it, half the people don't even know what time they ate in the morning or in the evening, right? So being aware, when do I last eat at night? When do I eat in the morning? Cool, this is my schedule. Now I at least know that. Could I close that window a little bit and eat in a shorter window? The goal is really just a shorter window of eating. And here's what's interesting, Dawn, is even if someone doesn't improve the quality of their food, it still has improvements.
Wow. Wow. And I know we're almost out of time. I just want to touch on this because I know someone other than me is going to be asking this. What about if you're working out
while fasting has additional benefits? My husband is about to do a fast for the next 3 days and he kicked it off with a big workout last night. So these are further advanced health and healing and wellness protocols that when he and I started this 15 years ago, I probably would have keeled over had I not eaten right at 7 a.m. Okay. Right. Because my blood sugar was so off.
Got you.
You what?
Okay. Well, I'm still a rookie. I said, I'm still a rookie then because, I at least have to have a shake.
Right. And that's fair. And you should. Again, remember, just even hinting at the idea of intermittent fasting is doing it very, very gradually. Let's say that someone always eats at 7 p.m. Always. That's their work schedule. They can't get out and they can't eat until 7 p.m. But then if they're looking at their morning schedule, they're eating at 6 a.m. How about this next week? We try to eat at 6:15 a.m. How about we give that another week or two and then we start trying to eat at 6:30 a.m. and we give that a couple weeks. You see what I'm saying? It's very slow to the point that the person it really won't affect them badly. Now, someone might say, I know my sweet spot. I can't eat later than 9 a.m. Cool. You know, like depending on their schedule, depending on their workload, depending on their physical activity, different people of different physical activity levels have different needs. And again, Dawn, that's absolutely where when someone is working with us, either in our brick and mortar or over the phone with telehealth, we are working with the individual because giving a blanket statement that we all should only eat from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. I absolutely am not saying that, right? Every person is different. And I was not always able to intermittently fast that long. But that is the blessing of working with an individual, knowing what their occupation is. What is your sleep schedule like? What is your diet like? What are our detox needs? You know? And so we're just saying with what we do, we use intermittent fasting as a tool.
Good to know. I'm sure.
Oh, you are.
Because I'm seeing you tomorrow.
You are. You are. Yes.
My next appointment. Yes, I am. Well, gosh, Dr. Lauren, thank you. We know you need to go. Thank you. We realize how busy you are. So appreciative.
Correct.
Your website, I believe, is insidehealth.com. So that's one great way to get to Dr. Lauren and find out more about their clinic and their programs. I highly recommend that you do that. And
thank you
so much for joining us today again, Dr. Lauren, and thank all of you as well for being here. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. I'm Dawn Mathis, and take care and be healthy. Bye for now. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.